We start a brand new church year today, this Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, and Advent has always posed challenges to me as a cradle Episcopalian, somebody that was formed in the church. Today's gospel lesson, for example, is one that takes me by the shoulders and shakes me to the core. I'm accustomed to thinking of the church, the Christian faith, as building stability in society, certainly a building up the good in this world. I like to see the Christian religion as giving us the Jesus, as Will Willimon, who is the dean and chaplain of the at Duke University, he says that we mainline Protestants are typically accustomed to thinking of Jesus as either an exemplary moral teacher or a spiritual guru who helps us function, gives us helpful hints for getting out of bed in the morning and making our way through life. And we think of our faith as being constructive and preserving what has been built up over many generations in the church. Our structures in the church are a testament to that fact. Our buildings convey, they exude permanence. Our traditions underscore our need for stability. As much as I love to speak of all the evolutionary changes in church practices and church traditions over the past two millennia, I am the very first one to point out that in our tradition we have a long and distinguished history. We are part of something very great and, by worldly standards, quite permanent, certainly far more permanent than the empires of this world, the Fortune 500, and all of the current and passing crises that we hear about and read about on a daily basis. But Advent, certainly as we hear our Lord speak in Matthew this morning, Advent suggests neither preservation nor permanence. We're dealing with Jesus this morning in an apocalyptic frame. That's the Jesus we are getting today, not the moral preceptor, not the spiritual guru that we're comfortable with. We're getting the apocalyptic Jesus this morning, and it's a far cry from the baby lying in the manger. While the rest of the world is going around preparing for Christmas, and we hear the carols already in the shopping malls, Jesus is not speaking of all of those things of the world. He is speaking of deconstruction or even destruction. We like to think sometimes that Jesus has sort of put the Old Testament, the destructive God of the Old Testament, behind us, but that's not what we hear read today. The word apocalypse is one that makes my Episcopal heart get very uneasy and all of my generations of DNA unsettled as we speak of a God who is talking to us about sweeping away all that surrounds us so that God's intents and purposes can be revealed, uncovered. That's what apocalypse means. That's what's suggested by this apocalyptic message this morning, except Jesus is dealing with this sweeping away on an awesome and catastrophic scale. Jesus refers to all of this in Matthew. It comes down, as he says, to that day and that hour. He's very specific. He sees this as an event that is scheduled and is quite definite. The hour of the coming of the Son of Man. This is the second advent that he's speaking of. That's what we're speaking of in our season today. And he compares it to the sweeping away of the flood of Noah in Genesis. So much for the Jesus that moves the destructive God of the Old Testament into the past. Now we know that in the first coming, that first advent, God in Christ comes to us in great humility. He comes as a helpless child. God intervenes in human history decisively, yes, but by adopting the human condition and by walking with us and suffering with us and then suffering ultimately at our own hand. But what we're hearing described today about the second advent is nothing of the sort. We hear Jesus speak of the deconstruction, the sweeping away of the human world. Our prayers this morning, our collect for this season, speaks of his coming in glorious majesty, not a babe in a manger. And our creeds, the ones that we recite Sunday in and Sunday out, say with certainty that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. He will come again to judge. And on top of that, in this message from Matthew today, the one that makes me so anxious, Jesus warns us to keep awake. Keep awake. Be ready to be prepared for that unexpected but certain hour that is to come. And all of this, I think, makes Advent a challenge for me, challenge for many Episcopalians, for many mainline Protestants with our belief. I was reared on the belief that we all could participate as good Christians in social improvement and the building up of cultural institutions infused with the Christian ideal. Winston Churchill himself, and I'm thinking of this as we observe this next week, our 75th anniversary of our entry into the Second World War, Churchill himself argued that the great goal of the Second World War was the survival of Christian civilization, by which he meant the universal goodness in the human heart, prompted by a patient God who has given us all of the gifts that we need to make this world a better place. But we're told in Matthew by Jesus that all of this will be swept away in an hour, at that hour, at the second advent. So how do we hear these periodic warnings to stay awake? Stay awake and be alert and be watchful for the second advent, the one that we are focused on this morning, the one which will not include the angelic host out in the fields with the shepherds in the starry night, but will be, at least according to Jesus, will be like a tsunami, destroying everything in sight, everything and everybody swept away. And this terrible sight of these two ladies, the ones grinding corn, the ones given menial tasks, one of them is taken and one of them is left. Some days I'm absolutely convinced in my commute up to Waco, 104 miles up Interstate 35, that when that hour comes, I'm going to be stuck between Belton and Salado in that two-lane traffic, not knowing what will happen. Jesus is telling us to be watchful and to be ready for another great flood. That's the message of Advent. Most of us, certainly including me, would prefer an improved world, one in which I could help improve the world. Jesus is speaking of a world made altogether new. He's telling us not to be prepared for Christmas, not to be looking back, at least not for today, not to be looking back to Bethlehem, but to be looking deeply forward into a future that finds us awake and watchful, alert. The contrast, this antithesis between the first advent, the sweet scene in the manger, and the second is very dramatic. The babe in the manger, the second with power and the uncomfortable image of destruction on the order of an epic flood. And so too, we are called to stay alert for something that is usually very, very far from our minds, very far in our day and time, far in the day and time of any generation, especially in our own culture as we continue to persuade ourselves that we have a greater degree of control over life, that we can actually build towers or security systems that are impervious to the forces of evil in this world, rather than acknowledging that this world is passing away. Jesus tells us that this world, all of this, all that we think is permanent, is passing away. Jesus tells us in this gospel that there will come a day when there will not be a tomorrow. And he's telling us that we've got our work to do in the meantime to be alert, to be prepared, to be ready, to be watchful. Now, where is the good news in all of this while everyone else in the malls is hearing Joy to the World and all of the great songs that we will postpone for a while? Where is the good news in this for us? Well, for one thing, I actually find it comforting that in this new creation that will come at the second advent, it may not be according to my own schedule or my own architectural ideas, but we are told and given great assurance that there will be a place for us, for you, for me, for all of us. There will be a place in this new creation. He's gone to prepare that place and given us life-changing work to do in the meantime, the life-changing work of being watchful, of setting our sights on something greater than that which the world has to offer. I also find it a source of considerable comfort to know that the day will come when all of human suffering, all of our alienation, our brokenheartedness, our hate, all of this will disappear into the dustbin of history, a forgotten relic overwhelmed by God's sweeping gesture in the coming again, the second advent of Jesus Christ, coming in glory, even as he comes to judge me and to judge you and to judge all of us. In the meantime, we are called to important work, to be ready, to be watchful, to be alert, and to remember that we worship a God who, even with that expectation, we worship a God who neither slumbers nor sleeps. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.